भगवते वासुदेवाय We can chant together. Om Agnyati Mirandasya Naranjana Salakaya Chakshusun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manuvishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Jitaha Pajakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagunara Gunatam Vitam Taham Sajivam Saivaitam Savadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Nibitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Kopesha Kopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishavanustute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatra Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasade Gurubhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Bolo Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srimad Bhagavatam Granth Raj Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Today we're reading from the fourth chapter text fourth canto chapter 28 text 31 Ekai kasya bhavete sam Rajan Arbudam Arbudam Boksyate Yad Vasam Vamsa Darar Mahiman Vantaram Param Ekai Kasya Bhavete Sam Rajan Arbudam Arbudam Boksyate Yad Vamsa Darar Mahiman Vantaram Param Ekai Kasya Bhavete Sam Rajan Arbudam Arbudam Boksyate Yad Vamsa Darar Mahiman Vantaram Param Thank you.
Of each one, abhavat, there became, tesham, of them, rajan, O king, arbudam, 10 million, arbudam, 10 million, bokshyate, is ruled, yat, whose, vamsha dare, by descendants, mahi, the whole world, manu antaram, up to the end of one manu, param, and afterward. Translation. My dear King Parsinibharasat, the sons of Malaya Dwaja gave birth to many thousands and thousands of sons, and all of these have been protecting the entire world up to the end of one manu's lifespan and even afterward. Please repeat. My dear King Parsinibharasat. The sons of Malaya Dwaja gave birth to many thousands and thousands of sons. And all of these have been protecting the entire world up to the end of one manu's lifespan. And even afterward. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There are 14 manus in one day of Brahma. A manvantara, the lifespan of one manu, is given as 71 multiplied by 4,320,000 years. After one such manu passes on, another manu begins his lifespan. In this way, the life cycle of the universe is going on. As one manu follows another, the cult of Krishna consciousness is being imparted, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.1. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Imam Vivasvate Yogam, Proktavam Aham Avyayam, Vivasvan Manave Paraha, Manur Iksvakave Bravet. The Blessed Lord said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god Vivasvan. And Vivasvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. Vivasvan, the sun god, imparted Bhagavad Gita to one Manu, and this Manu imparted it to his son, who imparted it to yet another Manu. In this way, the propagation of Krishna consciousness is never stopped. No one should think that this Krishna consciousness movement is a new movement. As confirmed by Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, it is very, very old movement, for it has been passing down from one manu to another. Among Vaishnavas, there may be some difference of opinion due to everyone's personal identity, but despite all personal differences, the cult of Krishna consciousness must go on. We can see that under the instructions of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj began preaching the Krishna consciousness movement in an organized way within the past 100 years. The disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj are all God brothers, and although there are some differences of opinion, and although we are not acting conjointly, every one of us is spreading this Krishna consciousness movement according to his own capacity and producing many disciples to spread it all over the world. As far as we are concerned, we have already started the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and many thousands of European and Americans have joined this movement. Indeed, it is spreading like wildfire. The cult of Krishna consciousness, based on the nine principles of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, will never be stopped. It will go on without distinction of caste, creed, color, or country. No one can check it. The word bokshite is very important in this verse. Just as a king gives protection to his citizens, these devotees, following the principles of devotional service, will give protection to all the people of the world. The people of the world are very much harassed by so-called religious, principled swamis, yogis, karmis, and jnanis. But none of them can show the right way to become elevated to the spiritual platform. There are primarily four parties spreading devotional service all over the universe. These are the Ramanuja Sampradaya, the Madhva Sampradaya, the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, and the Nimarka Sampradaya. The Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya in particular comes from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All these devotees are spreading this Krishna consciousness movement very widely and giving protection to innocent people who are being so much embarrassed by pseudo-avatars, swamis, yogis, and others. My dear King Parsinibharasad, the sons of Malaya Dvaja gave birth to many thousands and thousands of sons, and all of these have been protecting the entire world up to the end of one Manu's lifespan, and even afterwards. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we see in this purport the vision and the heart of Srila Prabhupada. He is concerned only with the welfare of the whole world. And what is the greatest welfare activity? One time I was sitting in a class by one of my godbrothers, and he said, and Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasana, he had asked him to speak, and he said, Krishna consciousness is not concerned with welfare work. And Prabhupada stopped him. He said, stop. He said, Krishna consciousness is the ultimate welfare work, because it's not mundane welfare, it's spiritual, transcendental welfare. Just like people have so many problems in this world, health problems, social problems, family problems, societal problems, military problems, economic problems. And there are many panaceas, so-called panaceas, for these problems. But the problems never end, neither do the solutions. But Krishna consciousness is the ultimate solution to all problems, because it can raise a person above the influence of the three modes of material nature and elevate them to the position of transcendental devotional service. Some people might look skeptically at this. That's because of a lack of faith. However, someone who is deeply committed to following the instructions of the Guru, Guru Mukha Padma Vaikya Chitete Kariyaka, very serious about hearing, Shusho Saho Sadadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahatsivaya Vipra Punya Tirtani Sevana, one who listens with great faith and attention the words of a transcendental devotee like Srila Prabhupada, they develop a taste, kataruchi, for hearing more. And that is a great thing to do, and it's one of the best ways of advancing. It is the best way of advancing in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not an academic process. It's a spiritual process. As Krishna says, Tesam Satate Yuktanam Bhajatam Pritipurvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upayanti Te. Those who are dedicated to me and serve me with love and devotion, I give them the knowledge by which they come to me. Tesam Ivana Kampartam Aham Agyanamam Tama Nasayami Atma Bhavasto Gyanati Pena Basvato. I, dwelling in their hearts, light with the lamp of knowledge, the darkness born of ignorance. So this is not an academic process. It's a process of surrendering to the sweet will of Krishna. And it's a voluntary thing. It cannot be forced. We have to simply recognize the importance of it. And Krishna says, Yehi tamam prapadyante tam stutave bhajamyaha mamavart manavartante manusya partha sarvasaha. As one surrenders unto the Lord progressively reveals himself to the devotee and reveals more knowledge. And that knowledge is not an academic knowledge, it's realized knowledge. It's given by the Lord. It's a transcendental process. Just like Brahma was inspired by hearing the flute of Krishna, and through his heart he was enlightened by the Lord, that same thing happens to every one of us if we are willing to follow the process. There was once a king who was a pretty nasty fellow. He didn't like sadhus. So he would invite prominent sadhus to his palace, and he would ask them three questions. If they could answer them, he would reward them. If they couldn't answer them, he would cut their throat. So the three questions were, where is God? Why can I not see him? And what is he doing? So all the prominent swamis came, and pundits, they all failed, and they got their throats cut. So now he had to invite the lesser pundits. There was one very humble pundit, a Brahmin. He was always praying to the Lord. And he was invited one day. So he became a little bit morose. And he sent a note to the king. He said, give me 3 days to come. So the king said, okay, what's the difference? I'm going to cut your throat anyway. So for 3 days he prayed very intensely. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. He prayed very, very intensely, not asking for anything, but just praying and meditating on the words of the Hare Krishna mantra. Oh dear Radharani, oh dear Krishna, please protect me, give me the strength to always engage in your devotional service. That was his only prayer. So what happened? By the end of the third day, he felt very comforted. He felt as if the Lord was embracing him. And many wonderful thoughts appeared in his mind. So the next day he went to see the king, and the king said, okay, now it's your turn. Answer the three questions. Where is God? Why do I not see him? And what does he do? So he said, sir, dear Raja, may you live long. May your enemies go blind. May your soldiers always be victorious. May your wife only have sons. And may your enemies' wives all have abortions. He said, Raja, in order to answer your question, I need a few things. He said, why do you need a few things? He said, you want me to answer the question, don't you? Yes, then you give me those three things, please. I need some milk, full cream. I need a fire. I need some nimbu, some lemon. And I need some kind of cloth. And please, you supply one servant. He said, I don't understand. I said, I know you don't understand. That's why you asked those three questions. But if you want to know the answer, you give me those four things. He said, okay. So he bought everything. He ordered a servant. So the pundit told the servant, heat up the milk in a nice pot. When it comes to a boil, put some lemon juice in it. Stir it. Then when it curdles, turn the fire off. Strain it through a cloth. So he did all that. So he ended up with some paneer. So he formed the paneer into a ball like this. And he went up to the king and he said, this is the answer to your first two questions. The king looked at him and said, what kind of nonsense is this? What do you mean this is an answer? What kind of answer is that? Shanti, shanti. This is the answer. So he explained to me, I don't understand. He said, did you see any cheese in the milk? He said, no. Do you think there is cheese in the milk? He said, of course, I see it with my own eyes. He said, where was the cheese? He was everywhere in the milk. That's the answer to the first question. God is everywhere in the creation. He said, okay, how about the second question? He said, why do I not see God? He said, that's very simple. He said, when I was a little boy, my mother would always instruct me, wash your hands before you eat. Wash your hands after you eat. Always say a prayer to Krishna before you eat. And always make sure that you're eating only prasadam. After you eat, wash the dishes and clean where you ate. And always chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Whenever you see your father, bow down to him. Always touch his feet and thank him for protecting you and giving and helping you to be a good boy. Whenever you see elders, always bow down to them. Whenever you see pundits and sadhus, always bow down to them. Always pray to Srimati Radharani that she engage you in her Krishna service. So the king said, wait a minute, what's all this have to do? He said, just shanti, shanti. He said, then, because I did that, when I became a little older, my mother said, come here. I want to teach you today how to make paneer. You see, she didn't teach me right away. I had to go through a process called saranagati. I had to surrender to my mother's will, to my father's will, to my elder's will, to my guru's will, to a saintly person's will. Then she showed me how to make paneer. Then I was able to see the cheese and the milk. And the same way, if you follow the bright process, you'll be able to see Krishna everywhere in the creation. He said, okay, okay, but now the third question. What is God doing? He said, ah, Raja, I'm going to give you a secret. You are coming from God, I am coming from God. We all come from God, everything comes from God. Aham sarva siprabhavo matak sarvam pavartate. Therefore, if you can analyze yourself carefully, you'll be able to see also and understand much about God. Up to 78% you'll understand who God is. And you'll also understand what he's doing. Especially you, because you are a king. You have been blessed by Krishna to be his representative on this earth. Therefore, what are you doing, Rajan? Every day you're ordering people, come here, go there, stand up, sit down, talk, keep quiet. Answer this question or I'll cut your throat. You see, you're ordering people and they're doing what you say. But there's a difference between you and Krishna. Sometimes when there's a war, you have to go right up to the front of the battle and lead your army. When you come home, your wife scolds you and says, you're a nonsense, you didn't do what you promised to do. Then you say, you become all shaky and say, yes, here, I'll do whatever you say. So you're always doing something, but Krishna's never doing anything. Namam lempanti karmani, nami karma phale spriha. He doesn't do anything. He simply wills and it happens. But you will, but you have to also sometimes do. That's the difference between you and Krishna. But basically, you're doing the same thing. You're ordering people, and people are doing. Is it okay, Raja? He said, okay, I can't say anything. You're the only one that was able to answer my questions. He said, now explain to me why you were able to answer, and none of these other big pundits were able to answer. He said, oh, that's very simple, Raja. Because I always chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And because I followed my guru's instructions, he didn't tell me to become some big pundit. He told me to remain humble. He taught me, Chinadapi suni chena, tarurapi sahistana, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. He taught me to be more humble than the grass in the street, more tolerant than the tree, and ready to offer all respects to others, even those that don't respect me, and never seek any recognition for the service I do. And he also taught me, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam Va Jagadishikamaya, Mama Janmani Janmani Swari, Bhavatad Bhaktira Haituki. He taught me that not to be interested in any amount of wealth. I should see wealth like pebbles in the street. And I should not be interested in having any number of disciples or followers. Nor should I be interested in objects of beauty. Sundarim means a pretty woman for a man or a handsome man for a woman, any object of desire. And he also taught me not to be interested in mukti. Simply continue serving life after life. Because of that, my guru blessed me so that I can understand something about Krishna. And Krishna was very kind. He let me answer this question. So now, are you happy, Raja? He said, okay. He said, I can't say anything. You answered all my questions. Therefore, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to reward you with a whole village with hundreds of acres of land and 1,000 cows. How about that? He said, Raja, I'm not interested. I don't need land. I don't need cows. I don't need villages. All I need is my guru's mercy. That's all. And even that, I'm willing to wait. I'm not asking for it. So you keep your land, you keep your cows. You need them more than I do. If you want, you give them to the poor people, because you will be remembered not for what you saved, but for what you gave in this life. So in this way, we see bhukti mukti, kami sakale asanta. People who are after sense gratification, therefore they do all kinds of karmakanda activities. People who are after liberation because they want to become one with God, or they want to enjoy freedom from the modes of material nature. People who are after mystic powers because they want to enjoy material opulence. They're not really peaceful because they want something. Only the devotee is peaceful. Ateva Santa. Why? Because he doesn't want anything from Krishna. He wants to give to Krishna. He wants to give his love, his devotion, sweet words, his surrender, and his everything. Just like we heard yesterday that there are 9 principles of devotional service. 7 are to develop one's feelings of love and devotion to the Lord. And the last 2, that is making friendship with the Lord and surrendering everything to the Lord, is considered raga bhakti, natural attraction. Just like the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they naturally love Krishna. They don't know he's God. If they thought he was God, they would not be able to express their love to him with such intimacy. But they just think he is a friend, or he is a child, or he's a lover, and they just love him. So that type of natural attraction is very rare. So we have to develop it. And it begins by hearing, shravanam. The shravanam is a special thing, because if you hear from a genuine devotee, and a genuine devotee simply repeats the words of the acharyas without adding or subtracting, it becomes very sweet. In fact, it seduces our heart. And after a little while, we compare hearing gramya katha to hearing Krishna katha, and we completely lose the taste of gramya katha, nonsense talk based on enviousness, jealousy, sense gratification, how to make more money. Just like one time in 1999, I did one house program. And during the program, I noticed that there were no men. Only the women were there. You know, it was a very big house. It was a very wealthy family. And I was wondering, where are the men? So after I did the fire sacrifice, I walked around the house. It was a big house. And in one corner of the house, all the men were huddled in a circle. And they were all going like this, trying to listen. So I walked up. I went like this, too. There was one man in the middle, and he was talking in whispers. He said, "In 1984, I bought Microsoft stock." Everyone went, "Oh." One man fell over. He got so emotional. So if you bought Microsoft stock in 1984, and this was like 1999, you would be a multimillionaire. Right? So I was wondering, I said, this is why they didn't come, because they were all interested in making money. In fact, the new god in India is called Rupiah. There's no Bhagawan, there's Rupiah. So I was called back to the house in 2001, again to perform a puja. This time all the men were there, and they were all sitting like this, listening very carefully to the class. Every time I would say something, they would shake their head like this. So I was thinking to myself, what changed between 1999 and 2001? The stock market crashed. They all became humble. Before they were humbug, and now they were humble. Therefore, they were able to listen. So this is our problem, that as long as one has some pride, and you can be proud of anything. A pauper is proud of his penny. An ant can be proud of a little grain of salt, of sugar. So as long as there's some false pride that I have something, that this is mine, just like so many people come up to me and say, "Prabhu, you want to buy an apartment in Mayapur?" I said, "No, I don't want to buy an apartment." I said, "Why not? You can buy one today, it'll be worth 10 times more after the big temple is built." I said, "I'm not interested in making a profit in Mayapur. Anytime I come to Mayapur, I can always find somewhere to stay. Why should I have the headache of owning someplace? In fact, I don't want to own anything. I want to be free of insurance, mortgage payments, and worrying about thieves and dacoits and all those things. Why?" Just like Sanatana Goswami, when he was trying to come to Lord Chaitanya after he left the Nawab Hussein Shah, he told his servant, "Don't carry any money." But the servant secretly had a few gold coins. So they stopped in one inn, and the innkeeper was a very sharp man. He was acting very nice to them. And this put a doubt in Sanatana Goswami's mind. But he was a head minister. He could understand material nature very, very well. And he could see by the overbearing humility of the innkeeper that they were in danger. So he privately asked the servant, he said, "Do you have any money with you?" He said, no. He said, "Tell the truth, do you have any money?" He said, "Yes, I kept a few gold coins." He said, "Immediately give it to the innkeeper." He said, "Why?" He said, "Just give it to the innkeeper. Your head is more important than the gold coins." Just like there was once a man, he had a neighbor, but he would go on a long walk every day into the forest. So did his neighbor. But one day, he saw that his neighbor's head had been cut off by a lion. He was shocked, so he immediately went home. When he came back, he saw that the neighbor's wife was looking out the window. So he tried to avoid her, but she came to his house and knocked on the door, and she said, "Did you see my husband?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Is he all right?" He said, "That depends." He said, "What does it depend on?" He said, "Did he have his head on this morning when he went out for a walk?" So in an indirect way, he revealed to her that her husband's head was cut off. So in the same way, Sanatana Goswami said, "Your head is more important than the gold coins." So he gave the gold coins, and the innkeeper was very pleased, and he said to the servant, he said, "Your guru is a very wise man." You see, because as long as we're attached to something, we're in danger. First of all, we're worried about it. Secondly, other people might desire it. And you don't know what kind of people they are. Just like there was once a monkey, he was walking around the forest, and you know, the monkeys are nonsense. They just do nonsense all day long. And there was a bottle with a cherry inside of it. Now there's thousands, millions of cherries and fruits in the forest. But he wanted that cherry because it was in the bottle. So somehow or other, he squeezed his hand into the bottle and he grabbed a hold of the cherry. Well, that bottle and cherry had been put there by a hunter who understood very well the frailties and the shortcomings of monkeys. So as soon as he grabbed the cherry with his hand, the hunter ran after him, and the monkey refused to let go of the cherry. Therefore, he had a handicap now. He had three arms, but he was pulling that bottle, and the hunter easily caught him. Now, the question is, why didn't he let go of the cherry to save his own life? Attachment. Material attachment. In fact, Prahlad Maharaj says that somebody who has even one material desire in their heart, that desire adulterates the way they think, the way they conceptualize, the way they see the world, the way they speak, the way they dress, the way they eat, the way they dream. It affects everything. Just one material desire. So, if a person like that is a leader, let's say a leader, could be a spiritual leader or whatever, it affects everything. Every decision he's going to be made, he makes is going to be affected by that one material desire. So, Prahlad Maharaj warns that the sickness that we all are suffering from in this world is called kaman hrit rogam, the sickness of the heart in which we harbor material desires and lust. So somebody who's like that is always troubled by dualities. That is the symptom of being, entangled in the material world. Sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold. We remember how nice it was when it's hot, and now we're suffering because it's cold. Sometimes it's cold, and sometimes it gets very hot. We remember how nice it was when it was cold, and now we're very uncomfortable because it's so hot. Sometimes we have money, sometimes we don't have money. Sometimes there's love, sometimes there's hate. So in all these dualities, we get deluded. And we suffer from the dualities because we have material attachments. And we're struggling in this world trying to adjust things so that there's less misery and more happiness. That's called the struggle for existence. And during that struggle, we're always troubled by these dualities. So, it's only when one becomes free of the delusion of pride and the dualities of material life, just like Krishna tells Arjuna, Trayagunya Vishaya Veda, Nistragunya Bhavarjuna, Nirdvandva Nityasatvasto, Nir Yoga Shema Atmavan. O Arjuna, the three Vedas are concerned with the three modes of material nature. Therefore, rise above the Vedas, become free of the dualities of life, of protection. Or safety and gain. These are the two things. There was once a Brahmin who was a very poor man, but he lived in a neighborhood where there was a very rich man. The Brahmin lived in a little hut. He would beg every day, and he and his wife, whatever he would beg, they would eat very simply. They had a peaceful life, and the Brahmin was always able to do his pujas and say his mantras. But there was a rich man, a baniya, businessman. And you know how businessmen are. They can't really trust anyone. He didn't trust his wife. He didn't trust his kids. He didn't trust anybody. And he kept his money always hidden somewhere. So one time he had to go on a long trip. So very late at night, he came to the Brahmin's house and knocked on the door and woke him up. And a Brahmin came and was like this. "What is it, sir?" He said, "I'm your neighbor." He said, "Yeah, I know who you are. What's the matter? Is there something wrong?" He said, "No, nothing's wrong." He said, "Why'd you wake me up?" He said, "I'm going on a long trip tomorrow, and you are the only man I can trust. He said, well, thank you very much. I hope you have a good trip. He said, no, wait a minute. He said, I brought all my money. He said, what for? He said, I can't trust anymore. I can't trust my wife. She's always spending all my money. I can't trust my kids. They just think I'm an idiot. They're trying to get my money. I don't trust banks. They always say, we'll give you interest, everything. In the end, I lose money there. I can't trust anyone, but I can trust you because I know you're a truthful man. He said, okay, what do you want? He said, I want you to keep the money until I come back. He said, where is it? It's in this chest. He said, okay. I'll keep it for you and give it back to you when you come back. He said, okay, thank you. And he puts the big chest in the Brahmin's little hut. So the Brahmin goes back to bed. His wife said, who was that? He said, oh, that was the Bunya next door. She said, what does he want? Well, he wanted to leave all his money here. He left it. She said, what? He left all his money here? He said, yes. He said, are you crazy? He said, what do you mean? He said, if anybody finds out, they'll kill us and take the money. He said, oh, I didn't think about that. He said, what should we do? He said, we better hide it. Did anyone see him? No, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's sleeping. She said, okay, where are we going to hide the money? He said, well, let's hide it under the bed. He said, are you crazy? If you hide it under the bed, they'll kill us first to get the money. He said, oh, I didn't think like that. He said, you're a very smart lady. So where should we hide it? He said, let's bury it outside. He said, okay, you mean we have to get out of bed to do that? He said, yes. He said, I'll watch and you dig a hole and bury it. He said, okay. So he had never done this before in his whole life. He never had money to worry about. So he goes outside, his wife is saying, shh, 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 shh. He said, okay, shh, shh. So he goes out, he digs a hole in the middle of the night, buries the money, covers it with some leaves and other things, you know, comes back in. He said, whew. He said, that was hard. It's really hard having money. He said, yeah, I know. She said, okay, let's go to bed. He said, are you crazy? You can't go to bed. He said, why not? He said, you have to keep watching that no one saw you. He said, all night? He said, okay, you stay up, I'll sleep. Then you call me, I'll stay up, you sleep. Okay. So then the Brahmin opened the curtain a little bit, and he was looking outside, and the wife said, don't do that. He said, why not? He said, someone can see that you're looking outside. He said, well, how can I look outside? He said, just a little bit, with a little bit of corner of your eye, look outside. Said, oh, okay. He said, this is worse than meditating. Like this. He was looking outside. Of course, there's no light outside anyway, and the wife is sleeping. So after a little while, he gets really tired. He says, Prabhuji, he said, your turn. He said, did you sleep? He said, no, I couldn't sleep. I'm too nervous. He said, oh, is it okay? Can you watch a little? He said, yeah, I'll watch. You sleep a little bit if you can. So she's watching until daylight comes. He couldn't sleep either, and because he was so nervous, he wasn't able to do his puja. He couldn't chant any mantras. He couldn't do anything. So that day, all day long, they're looking a little bit like this outside the window. They're afraid to go outside so someone might see them. They don't do anything. They can't eat. They can't pass stool. This is really serious. So the next night, it's the same thing. After that, the Brahmin says to the wife, this is it. I'm finished with this. He said, my whole life, I haven't had any money. I had no worries. He said, now he gives me his money, I can't sleep, and I can't pass stool. He said, that's it. Tomorrow morning, I'm giving the money back. I don't care. So the next morning, he digs up the chest, he carries it to the neighbor's house, he knocks on the door, and the wife, the Bunya, comes. And she said, yes, what is it? He said, this is yours. Your husband did not tell you that he's a rich man. This is all his money. I never want to see this again, and I don't want to see your husband. And don't ever bother me again. And he left. Now we see that there is actually a great benefit in not being rich. In fact, in being poor, but being pure. Just like Haridas Thakur, he was able to convince the prostitute to become a devotee. What was the first thing she said? How am I going to eat? He said, don't worry. You just chant in front of my tulsi. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Krishna will take care of you. Then she started doing that, and she became famous as the woman of ill repute that became a pure Vaishnava. So people would come just to see her and give her all kinds of food. Then the hunter Magari, the first question he asked when Narada Muni told him to chant Hare Krishna, he said, "Well, how will I eat?" He said, "Don't worry. Ma sucha. Don't hesitate. Don't have any doubts. And don't worry. Just chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram." So my friends, Ma sucha. Don't worry. Don't have any anxieties. Don't hesitate. You don't need to buy a big apartment or big house in Mayapur. You don't have to buy some land and build and be a korapati. In fact, I'll tell you one more story. This is a very instructive story. There was one very big GBC guru, and he was appointed guru of Vrindavan. Now this guru lived in absolute opulence. And he had a gold toilet. This is a true story, don't laugh, this is very true. He, as soon as he became GBC of Vrindavan, he ordered the toilet sent to Vrindavan. Before the toilet arrived in Vrindavan, he was thrown out by Radharani. So, let that be a lesson. You don't have to read the Bhagavatam. You could just study stories in ISKCON. So, those stories are Bhagavatam stories. Believe me, they're the same level as the Bhagavatam stories. You don't need anything. In fact, Krishna is the friend of the poor. His name is Dinabandhu. So you just depend on Dinabandhu, you have no worries. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Are there any questions anyone would like to ask? Yes, sir. Well, you notice we didn't mention any names. You talk about the principle, not exactly the person, the principle. So there's a principle, there's philosophy behind everything in life. Not one thing happens without a big philosophical point behind it. Now, this is what the GBC is supposed to do. They're supposed to analyze the philosophical points behind every proposal. And if the end result is that there's something positive for Krishna consciousness, then they can consider that proposal. It's the same for us in our life. We have to make decisions all the time. Should I live in America? Should I live in Mayapur? Should I marry this person or should I marry that person? Should I invest my money here or should I invest my money there? Should I eat this or should I eat that? Everything is a decision in life. So, if we learn to see according to Shastra, meaning Shastra Chakshus. In fact, first of all, the word for philosophy in Sanskrit is darshan. It's different than the word for philosophy in English. Philosophy in English means the love of the truth. But that could be very, very relative, what the truth is. But how to see, that's a correct understanding of philosophy. Now, how should I see? Just like if I have a child, I see my child with the eyes of protection and love. But a child molester looks at my child not the same way. He sees my child as an object of sense gratification for him or herself. So how to see is the important thing in life. So we should learn to see through Shastra. And we learn Shastra not through the eyes, but through the ears, by regularly hearing. So, in Bhagavad Gita, it says that someone who is an enlightened person sees pebbles and gold as the same. Now, if you offer me pebbles of gold, of course, I'm going to reach for the gold right now. But eventually, we will see them as the same. And We're not interested. There's nothing that can bribe us anymore to stay in the material world. The only thing we want is Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey, that's the only thing we want. And we're associating with each other in order to come to that point. Not that, oh, he has a car, I have to have a car. Oh, he has a dog, I have to have a dog. See, it's like once Prabhupada was on a walk in the morning, and he was surrounded by many devotees, and he was walking, he stopped, and he said, this car is very nice. So all the devotees repeated, yes, Prabhupada, this car is very nice. Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna should have this car. They all repeated, yes, Prabhupada, Krishna should have this car. So they kept walking. And Prabhupada stopped and pointed at a house. He said, this house is very nice. Krishna should have this house. Everybody repeated, yes, Prabhupada, this house is nice. Krishna should have this house. Then they kept walking, and Prabhupada stopped and said, this dog is very nice. Krishna should have this dog. And they all repeated, yes, Prabhupada, this dog is nice. Krishna should have this dog. Prabhupada looked at him and said, Krishna does not want this dog. He said, what's wrong with you? You have no brain? You just repeat? You don't think? So we have to be careful. Say, we should not follow the crowd. We should follow Mahajana Yena Gita Sapanta. The path stops, you know, that's chalked out by the genuine Mahajans. So, there are two Mahajans. This is a different way of looking at life. One Mahajan teaches us what to do, and the other Mahajan teaches us what not to do. See, they're both teaching us. So, we learn from Prabhupada. We go to see his room. Is there any opulence in his room? Yeah, there's the opulence of his presence, but he doesn't have gold this and makrana marble that, and it's a very simple room, and you can see what it was like. He simplified his life to maximize his Krishna consciousness, right? So, that's what we should do. And then we can see other people, they're surrounding themselves, they're cluttering their house with junk. All this thing, this is a pure digital this, and this is a pure that. Okay. So, the more you clutter the house, the more you clutter your life and your consciousness. You're starting to worry, oh, this computer doesn't work. I have to get it fixed. Oh, this cell phone is not the latest model. I got to get another cell phone. And your house is cluttered. But when you simplify, then you have much more time to think about Krishna. Krishna consciousness is a mental culture. What is the last thing you think about before you go to sleep? Do you think about a pretty girl that you saw during the day? Or do you think about Krishna? I can't tell you, you can't tell me, but we each know what we're thinking about. So when that thinking is focused on Krishna 24 hours a day, we're liberated. And if it's mixed, some pretty boy or pretty girl or some money transaction or some multi-level marketing scheme, then you know we haven't arrived yet. So this mental culture, that determines what we're going to think of at the moment of death also. So we have to be very careful with the mind. It's easy to control the body, very difficult to control the mind. Therefore, it's recommended by our acharyas. Stane stitak sutikitan tanavan manobir. Nityam bhagavata sevayam. We should always be hearing and chanting about Krishna, especially in Mayapur. This is the best place in the world to do that. So thank you very much. We don't badmouth our god brothers, but we understand the principle behind everything. And we can learn every minute of our life from people who do the right thing and from people who do the wrong thing. So life is one long lesson in humility, not humiliation. So thank you very much, all glories to Prabhupada.